For weeks, Kassad spent every free hour wandering the command school grounds, watching from the ramparts as the evening shadow of Mons Olympus covered first the plateau forest, then the heavily settled highlands, then everything halfway to the horizon, and then all the world. And every second he thought about what had happened. He thought about her. No one else had noticed anything strange in the simulation. No one else had left the battlefield. One instructor explained that nothing beyond the battlefield existed in that particular segment of the simulation. No one had missed Kassad. It was as if the incident in the forest and the woman had never happened. Kassad knew better. He attended his classes on military history and mathematics. He put in his hours at the firing range and gym. He walked off barracks punishments on the Caldera Quadrangle, although these were rare. In general, young Kassad became an even more excellent officer cadet than he had been. But all the while, he waited. And then, she came again. Again, it was in the final hours of an OSC-HTN simulation. By then, Kassad had learned that the exercises were something more than mere simulations. The OCS-HTN was part of the World Web All Thing, the real-time network which governed hegemony politics, fed information to tens of billions of data-hungry citizens, and had evolved a form of autonomy and consciousness all its own. More than 150 planetary dataspheres mingled their resources within the framework created by 6,000 Omega-class AIs to allow the OCS-HTN to function.
"The HTN stuff doesn't simulate," whined Cadet Radinsky, the best AI expert Kassad could find and bribe to explain. "It dreams. Dreams with the best historical accuracy in the web, way beyond the sum of its parts. 'Cause it plugs in holistic insight as well as facts, and when it dreams, it lets us dream with it."
Kassad had not understood, but he had believed. And then, she came again. In the first U.S.-Vietnam War, they made love in the aftermath of an ambush during the darkness and terror of a night patrol. Kassad wore rough camouflage clothes, with no underwear because of the jungle crotch rot, and a steel helmet not much more advanced than those at Agincourt. She wore black pajamas and sandals, the universal garb of the Southeast Asian peasant, and the Viet Cong. Then, neither of them wore anything as they made love standing in the night, her back against a tree, and her legs wrapped around him, while beyond them, the world exploded in the green glow of perimeter flares and the sputter crack of claymores. She came to him on the second day of Gettysburg and again at Borodino, where the clouds of powder smoke hung above the piles of bodies like a vapor congealed from departing souls. They made love in the shattered hulk of an APC in Hellas Basin, while the hover tank battle still raged and the red dust of the approaching simoon scraped and shrieked at the titanium hull. "Tell me your name," he had whispered in standard. She shook her head. "Are you real, outside the simulation?" he asked in the Japanese English of that era. She had nodded and leaned closer to kiss him. They lay together in a sheltered place among the ruins of Brasilia, while death beams from Chinese EMVs played like blue searchlights on broken ceramic walls. During an unnamed battle after a siege of a forgotten tower city on the Russian steppes, he pulled her back into the shattered room where they had made love, and he whispered, "I want to stay with you." She touched his lips with a finger and shook her head. After the evacuation of New Chicago, as they lay on the 100th-floor balcony, where Kassad had set his sniper's nest for the last U.S. president's hopeless rearguard action, he placed his hand on the warm flesh between her breasts and said, "Can you ever join me? Out there?" She touched his cheek with her palm and smiled. During the last year in command school, there were only 5 OCS HTN sims as the cadets' training shifted to live field exercises. Sometimes, as when Kassad was strapped into the tactical command chair during a battalion-sized drop onto Ceres, he closed his eyes, looked between the primary colored geographies of the cortically generated tactical terrain matrix, and felt a sense of someone? Of her? He was not sure. And then, she did not come again. Not in the final months of work. Not in the final simulation of the great coal sack battle, where General Horace Glennon Height's mutiny was defeated. Not during the parades and parties of graduation, nor as the class marched in a final Olympian review before the hegemony CEO, saluting from his red-lit levitation deck. And there was no time even for dreaming as the young officers farcast to Earth's moon for the Masada ceremony, farcast again to Tau Ceti Center for their formal swearing-in to force, and then they were finished. Second Lieutenant Cadet Kassad became Lieutenant Kassad, spent 3 standard weeks free in the web with a force-issued universal card, which allowed him to farcast as far and as frequently as he wished, and then he was shipped out to the Hegemony Colonial Service Training School on Lussis to prepare for active duty beyond the web. He was sure that he would never see her again. He was wrong.